everyone. Welcome to another episode of the Level 9 Podcast. I am here with my co-host, Jesse. Jesse, how are you doing?
I'm fantastic, Alex. How are you doing today?
Oh, I can't complain. You got some big gaming news the last couple of weeks, so that's exciting.
Yeah, it seems like every week we get introduced to some more news that just keeps piling up. I mean, it's nice because there hasn't really been many games coming out recently, so all of this news coming out from Microsoft, PlayStation, Nintendo, and all the different developers has been kind of easing the pain up until the next month or so when we start getting some more games released.
Yeah, I mean, it's a great time to be a gamer. It doesn't matter which console you're going on. Everybody seems to be making big moves, kind of getting, you know, kind of positioning themselves for the next generation, wiggling around. Microsoft's buying studios, Sony's making studios, Nintendo's doing Nintendo. It's crazy.
So. Kind of hanging around there.
Yeah, so it's crazy. What have you been playing lately?
I've still been playing Dying Light with my pal. Him and I just started the following expansion, and we've just been kind of messing around in that. We've come to realize that there are a lot of players who have already spent a lot of time playing this, so we jump into a lobby and they just drop us like thousands of modded weapons, just so it makes it a lot more fun just kind of jump into that world and kill some zombies with some incredibly high dangerous weapons.
That DLC? I know last time on the last week's podcast you mentioned it was your first time playing it for both you and your friend, so how are you enjoying it so far?
Well, it's fantastic. It's the following expansion. It introduces a whole new map to kind of explore, a little area outside of the main area that you play in. And you also get a go-kart type vehicle that you can drive around mowing zombies and upgrade to. So that's definitely an amazing aspect. I wish that ability was in the main game just because it's so much fun to hop into that vehicle and run over some zombies. But we're loving it so far. I think we're maybe 50 or 60% halfway through, and it's a great time.
Nice. I'm actually impressed with how much you actually enjoyed Dying Light and that you finally got back into it. Because I know you tried it out at first and it was not your style, but now it seems like it's your go-to game.
Yeah, I played it on PS4, and then I was a little hesitant to jump into it when my friend said it was on sale and wanted to play it, just because it was a few years old now, and in video game years, I mean, 2 or 3 years is pretty much archaic at that time. But I mean I'm just as shocked as you are that it's still holding up my attention as much as it has. It's definitely the only thing I've really been playing the last month or so.
Yeah, I mean, same here. Like I've been playing Dying Light, but with Football Manager I've just been into that for the last I can't even remember. I've been so into that game. Like that's my go-to game. I played a bit of FIFA, but nothing more. I kind of was having this conversation with my friend the other day, and I was just like, right now there isn't like any there isn't really any big games that kind of catch my attention. It's more just kind of pass it, like going through my backlog and kind of finishing games up, waiting for the big stuff. We know the big stuff are coming in, you know, early summer or midsummer, probably late fall is when you'll see all these big games drop. But right now, it just seems like the video game world's kind of at a standstill.
Yeah, Square Enix had an event on Thursday, and they released or they announced some of their plans for the future, the rest of this year and 2022.
That's exciting.
Yeah, we had a lot of trailers from upcoming games. We had some Marvel's Avengers news for the dozen fans who were still playing that game. We had some DLC for that game, plus the PS5 and Series X versions are coming out later this year. To celebrate the 25th anniversary of Tomb Raider, they gave us more information coming with Fortnite. They have Croft Manor's coming to Fortnite. Yeah. Since I think she just came to the game as a playable character, so that's pretty exciting. Plus, we get the definitive edition to celebrate the 20 years, the 3 Tomb Raider games from the PS4 and Xbox One are all available to download right now. They kind of sprung that on us for $20, which is a bargain. If you haven't played the Tomb Raider games, I mean, you have no excuse now because these games are fantastic.
I was just going to say, I was like, I can understand maybe not playing them at all because they're a little expensive, but for $20, you're missing out on some great quality games. Like Crystal Dynamics, like, when I heard they were working on the Avengers, it got me excited because I seen the potential they had with those Tomb Raider games. Obviously, they did not live up to expectations with the Avengers, but the Tomb Raider games are still fantastic, and you should definitely go help them out and kind of play through those again.
Yeah, they're incredibly easy to just pick up and start playing and just get lost in immediately. And with 3, I mean, that's a lot of hours to kind of spend exploring all these different environments that Laura finds herself trapped in and having to end up saving the world.
Yeah, and she's just a fantastic character. Like, it's like you talk about badass women in video games, Lara Croft is near the top of the list there. So definitely go give that series a shot.
It's almost a little overwhelming at times though, because it seems like every other scene she's just getting trampled on by boulders or enemies and getting shot at, falling off mountains, and it's just it's hard to keep up sometimes because you're just getting her ass kicked every 20, 30 minutes.
Yeah, but she's still here because Lara Croft is a badass.
Absolutely. She's been, when was the first game? 20 years. So, I mean,
a long time ago.
Yeah. Plus, we got a whole lot of Life is Strange news, which I'm excited for. We got the Life is Strange collection, which is the first two. First one came out in 2015, and the second one was 2018. That will be coming out later this year in September to connect with the Life is Strange 2 Colors, which releases September 10th. And it's also a little disappointing for me. It's a full game. It's not going to be episodic like the first two. I mean, I personally love the episodic format Life is Strange has taken upon, because it's just you play for an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then you can kind of take a break and sort of reflect on what you've just played through, and then you can come back to it like a night or two later. But yeah, the Life is Strange 3 is going to be a full game, no episode, so it'll be interesting to see how they kind of work around that.
I mean, I agree. Like, I really enjoyed the episodic kind of take, especially on the first one. The first one was a very, very good game, and it was pretty heavy emotionally too. Like, there's a couple of scenes in there where I was like, what the, like, I needed to take a kind of a break because I was just super overwhelmed. I never got around to playing the second one, but the first one I played and I loved every second of it. But there were parts there where you're just like, whew, that was an emotionally draining episode. So you took a break and came back to it a little bit later when the next episode released. But I mean, the fact that it's a full game, you can maybe get that all in one go and take a break. But Life is Strange is a very good game. It's obviously it's story driven, so there's not much. It's not like a Call of Duty first person shooter or anything like that. It's very, very story driven and kind of pulls at the emotions, and that's what True Colors seems to be about. Is each series, each game, they have different powers. I think in the first one you can rewind time a little bit. Second one, I don't remember what the second one was. I didn't play it, but the third one, it seems like she can tell people's emotions and how they're feeling, so that can kind of help with the story-driven narrative, so you can kind of play off of those emotions, which is kind of a cool concept.
Yeah, the Life is Strange series, certainly an emotional series. Plus, it's not very linear either, just with all the different decisions you can make. I mean, I think it was the first one, decision of a certain breakfast, what to eat for breakfast, ended up impacting the story later on. So, I mean, every single decision you have to make in this game does come around. And it could either bite you in the behind or end up helping you near the end.
I didn't watch the full Square Enix Presents. I had to work, so I did not get around to watching it. But it seems like this might be the new formula kind of going forward for a lot of companies. In this new digital world, it seems like E3 is kind of taking a back seat, and these big game showcases are kind of going on their own and kind of doing these little Nintendo Directs or Square Enix Presents or State of Plays or whatever Xbox has theirs called. I don't even know what Xbox is called. I think it's just Inside Xbox or Xbox Insider or I don't know. But anyways, it seems like all these bigger companies are kind of leaning that way.
Yeah, it definitely makes you a little concerned, at least for me anyway, about the future of E3, because I know in the past 2 or 3 years, more and more developers have been kind of backing out of that event and having their own events like we're seeing the past few months. So it makes me wonder if E3 will be here in the next 2 or 3 years with all of these events coming up.
Yeah, I don't mind the digital because I kind of like sitting on my couch eating my chips and kind of watching the news. But I mean, like, it's been a goal of ours, both of ours, to kind of get the E3 at least once in our lives, to, you know, having all that gaming in one, like all that gaming news and all big gaming companies all in one kind of location over a huge weekend. Like, I would imagine there's probably nothing better than that, which, like, we all seen what the world was like without E3 last summer. It was kind of, there was a lot of gaming news that went under the radar because there was just so many announcements. So if they're going to go with this digital world type thing, like, you kind of need to space it out and maybe talk with the other big game companies to kind of make sure you're just getting like shut out or that they're too close together. You know what I mean?
I do kind of appreciate it though, because it just gives you time to kind of regroup and think about what you've just seen. I mean, this Square Enix event, it was just under an hour. The State of Play that we just saw was, I think it was 25, 30 minutes. So, I mean, they're quick little blobs of just, here's some games working on, here's some information to take, and then we'll give you some more about these games in the future. So it is kind of nice rather than an event where it's like 2 or 3 hours and it's just game, and it's kind of hard to keep up at times.
Yeah, no, that's fair. And again, like I mentioned, I did not watch this presentation, but you did, or you caught some glimpses of it. I know we kind of mentioned Avengers in the last episode. Did they do anything or kind of release anything in this kind of Square Enix present that would kind of get you back into Avengers, or like, does it look like Avengers is going to be in a good place, or do they kind of have a roadmap, or are they kind of just all over the place and hoping something sticks?
Well, they released the, I guess it's called an expansion with the new character plus the versions for the PS5 and Series X. So it's, they're not totally giving up on the game yet, which may be a little surprising to a lot of people. I mean, I think we both agree that a free-to-play approach would probably at least do something to benefit the game going forward and not leading it to an Anthem-like demise that we just saw. So, I mean, I don't have really much of an interest in it yet, even though I'm a big Marvel fan. I'm hoping it can kind of pull me in with something in the future, but as of now, I mean, I don't really have a reason to jump into Avengers yet.
Yeah, the one thing, like I've never been really into this Avengers game. I love the Marvel movies, don't get me wrong. I think the thing that killed me is when they revealed the voice actors. Like, I know there are big name voice actors in the industry, but at the same time, like, you know, like we grew up as Robert Downey Jr. as Tony Stark, or you know, Chris Hemsworth as Thor. To kind of see them in different people kind of playing them kind of really threw me off a little bit, and I haven't really been intrigued as much. I know it's impossible for them to get those actors. The amount of money they would have to pay to be absolutely insane, so I get it, but it kind of took me out of the experience a little bit, if that makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, I remember seeing the trailer. I was excited to see the reveal trailer, and then, like you said, just the character models and voices just threw me off quite a bit, just because we're so used to the original four that we've seen since, I think 2008 was Iron Man. I mean, if they had the character models or the voice actors, one of the two, I mean, it might have done a little more to excite me. But again, like you said, that would have just been way too expensive, and they kind of had to go the route they did. So, I mean, hopefully in the next 6 months or a year, there's something enough to pull more players in, because I'm not sure what the player count is as of today, but I can't imagine it being very high.
Yeah, obviously, we have more things to get to in this episode, but I don't want to spend too much time on the Avengers, but it just kind of popped into my head. If you were Square Enix and Crystal Dynamics, would you have continued making the Avengers like it is now, with like a single player / multiplayer component? Would you have made it a multiplayer only game, or would you just focus solely on the single player and try and get like the Marvel characters and stories down right? I know there's a lot about playing with friends and stuff like that, but personally, I think maybe you know, releasing the Avengers, maybe the four original Avengers, and then maybe releasing a season pass like Assassin's Creed does all the time, and then as new characters come out, a new story kind of happens. So like, you have Iron Man, Hulk, Thor, Captain America, and then you have released a season pass, you get that season pass, maybe 4 months down the road, Black Panther comes out, and that single player story, you can play a Black Panther single player story type thing.
Yeah, I think if they had taken a Spider-Man for the PlayStation approach, where they just focus more on the single player and story aspect, just because so much of the Avengers and that entire franchise is based on character development and the writing rather than the multiplayer aspect, if they just threw that out and focus more on the story-driven game, I think it could have benefited a little more. And they did release, I think Hawkeye is a new character, or they released a new character with the event today. So it looks like they're attempting to go in that direction with more characters and more stories added. But I think that should just ditch the whole multiplayer aspect, even though there's probably a bit more money in that area with like in-game loot and that sort of thing.
Yeah, I'll just mention one real thing real quick again on the Avengers thing. I know a lot of my friends who I have played with on the Xbox did not end up getting Avengers because they knew they couldn't get Spider-Man. And I get why it was like an exclusively locked character to Sony. Sony's like Spider-Man and Sony at this point are kind of intertwined. And like all the Spider-Man films were owned by Sony at the time. But I know a lot of my friends just refused to buy Avengers because they could not get Spider-Man. So what do you think about like exclusive characters? Like, I get exclusive games, but like exclusive characters to certain consoles, like does that leave a sour taste in your mouth? I know as a PlayStation fan, it probably doesn't affect you as much, but like if like let's say Xbox has something similar, but that like how would you feel about that?
I mean, it would have been absolutely incredible if they could have managed to get Spider-Man included here, just because he's become such a big part of the Avengers series in recent years. But I mean, I understand it. Like it's just, again, there's a lot of money that goes involved and contracts and that sort of thing. I mean, I'm confident that they'll manage to make something work with the Avengers going forward. I'm just not sure they're quite there yet.
Yeah, I do think there's a lot of tweaking about, and I would honestly maybe even say the Avengers came out a little too early. Like maybe if they would have spent more time just on the next gen kind of game, they might have been able to get it. But enough about the Avengers. Let's move on to the next topic here.
Yeah, I mean, Project Athia got a new name. It's now called Forspoken. Brand new game coming out for the PS5 next year. I mean, the brief gameplay we got there looked pretty exciting, but I mean, most trailers that come out today look fantastic. It's just what the game, the end game actually looks like when it comes out. I mean, my excitement level for this hasn't really gone up or down. It's kind of neutral right now just because I don't really know a whole lot of it. I'm sure we'll be getting more information with it within the next year or so just because of its 2022 release. They also focused on mobile games. We had another Hitman game from the Lara Croft Go, Hitman Go, and Deus Ex Go developers. So, I mean, I've played Lara Croft Go and Hitman Go, and I enjoyed those thoroughly. So, I mean, I'm optimistic about that. They also had a Just Cause mobile trailer that's due later this year. Just Cause franchise, I've always, again, been a fan of, but I'm just not sure it's going to really relate to mobile games. But the big one for me was the Space Invaders game they showed off. It has a new AR technology similar to Pokemon Go, and I cannot wait to see what they do with this franchise.
Yeah, so are they kind of taking like a Pokemon Go approach kind of thing, where like there's different aliens and you can go capture them, and or you destroy them with like your, like, or like how are they doing it? Like, are they doing like, or is it just like a mobile game that I sat on my couch, the AR stuff would still work, or would I have to go around?
Well, the trailer was really cool just because it was sort of like through the generations where it started off at arcades and people playing Space Invaders, and then it kind of grew up to like stickers and posters and that sort of thing. But they didn't really show off any trailer. They just said, hey, Space Invaders, we're going to use AR technology and a modern art style to kind of bring Space Invaders to the new century. So they haven't really given us a whole lot of information about it. But again, like I'm pretty excited to see what they can do with this franchise just because it's such a beloved character and a game that so many people have played.
Hey man, if they can make Tetris into a wicked, like a top selling game this time around, I'm sure they can do it with Space Invaders. Like Tetris Effect was fantastic. So if they can take that similar approach or something different to kind of spice up Space Invaders, make it a bit more modern, I'm sure it will sell. Space Invaders is a classic.
Yeah, I have that soundtrack to that Tetris game on my Spotify. It is wicked. Just full of absolute bangers.
It's so good. It's underrated. Give them play Tetris Effect. I would recommend the PSVR version of it, but it is available on Game Pass as well. And you can play multiplayer as well on Game Pass. So,
and a game, one of the very first games I played when I was younger on the Nintendo 64, Bubble Bobble, they released, surprisingly, a new game, a co-op game on the PC. We're up to 4 friends, 400 stages, new power-ups. Geez. Yeah, there's going to be local co-op and more, so... And you can also even play the original arcade version of Bubble Bobble, which, I mean, I'm sure not a lot of people have done it just because we're a little older now. But like I said, I remember playing that with my mom back when I was maybe 10 or 11 years old. And it was one of the very first games I had ever played on the Nintendo 64. So I will very much likely be jumping into this game.
Yeah, so what you're saying is when we do an episode and I say, what are you playing? I say, Bubble, how do you say it? Bubble Bobble.
It is a bit of a tongue twister.
Holy jeez. Seriously though, but... you probably went on a bit of a nostalgia trip there for a little bit.
Yeah, it definitely made me go back in time a little bit. I those characters are just adorable, and I can't wait to jump into this. It's such a basic game. I'm not entirely sure what the gameplay will look like with this, but I'm hoping it stays relatively the same. It's got sort of like it was like the very first Bejeweled game back in, I don't even want to say when that game released.
Those are classics. Bejeweled are classics. I was going to say, if you could rate the Square Enix Presents from like, F to A in like school grades, what would you give it in your opinion? I never watched it, so I'm gonna refrain and give it a no grade. But
well, it was I think it was maybe 45 minutes. They did cram a lot into it. I mean, we also got a game called Two Who Spell Bubble, Darius Cosmic Revelation, and I believe that was pretty much it. I mean, I wasn't expecting a whole lot. We sort of touched on the last episode, some Lara Croft and Life is Strange was probably going to headline this event, which it did. I think just with those two titles, it has to get at least a B minus or a C. And then the rest, I mean, didn't really boost the grade for me. I mean, maybe, I mean, the Space Invaders game, I'm excited to see how they kind of do that. And it does have the potential of sort of taking over the world, similar to that one summer in 2016 when Pokemon Go just took over everybody's phone and everybody was just out exploring the world for the first time. So I think
summer of all time.
Yeah, I think that certainly has the potential to do mirror Pokemon Go's success. And aside from that, there wasn't really anything really jumped off the screen. So I'd say about a C for me, just because of Tomb Raider. and Life is Strange series coming.
I don't know how we went through this whole conversation where they bring up Outriders once, which they started with the presentation is what you told me.
Oh yeah, we sort of glossed over. Yeah, that was the very first. I remember reading the comments and everybody was just saying, well, this isn't Life is Strange, because there was like dragons flying around, there was magic, and it was just, but it certainly sort of reminded me of Gears of War and Anthem when I was watching it. And then near the end, it said from makers of Gears of War. And I was like, okay, that sort of makes a little bit of sense. So I'm not sure if that pairing of games is good. I mean, the visuals didn't really wow me at all. It looks more of like a previous gen game, but I mean, it does have the potential to be that next successful multiplayer game that releases on April 1st. I think you've mentioned this game a few times. I think you're a little excited for Outriders.
I wouldn't say I'm excited. Outriders was the first like next gen game I really kind of heard of. Like there was next gen talk, but it was kind of the first one that was looking like it was made for next gen only, from what I'm understanding. I'm more excited that it's on, like, comes to Game Pass on day one, just because I personally probably wouldn't have dropped the money on it to play it, but now that it's on Game Pass, I'm sure me and my friends will give it a go, and who knows, I might get hooked into it. Not really my type of game, but the fact that I can play it on Game Pass without kind of dropping the $79.99 is a huge boost for me. So yeah, that's how I feel about Outriders. But speaking of Game Pass, we'll kind of do a little transition piece here. Speaking of Game Pass, Octopath Traveler seems to be coming to Game Pass March 25th, which, have you ever played Octopath Traveler at all?
I have not, no, but I did do a little research on the game when you told me about this. I think it was a day or two ago.
Yeah, so it originally was a Nintendo exclusive, a Switch exclusive that no one ever thought was going to come to any sort of other console. It obviously came, I think it's made its way to PC last year. But now it's coming to Xbox Game Pass for the Xbox Xbox Series X, Xbox One, whatever, Series S. Anyways, all the Xbox family. And honestly, if you like Final Fantasy, Jesse, I would recommend trying it. Like, this is also a game you can probably play on your phone. It's kind of, I'm not going to spend too much time into this one, but like, there's 8 different stories, and you kind of pick how you want the story to kind of start. So like, you could pick any of the 8 characters to start off with, and they all have their hometowns, and by the end of the story they all kind of meet up in the middle, and you kind of have like it's like a turn-based party game. So like an old school Final Fantasy where you have like 3 people, you pick like either defend, health, magic, or whatever, and it's really, 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 really fun. And the fact that I can get achievements boosts this game up so much. Like, I'm playing it on the Switch and I loved it, but I'm like, man, there's like no reason to go back or kind of investigate or anything like that. But now that there's achievements, you can, I'll be go looking at every nook and cranny for those achievements. So
yeah, I think that's something that the new Nintendo Switch needs to have, is achievements. But I mean, yeah, it's certainly awesome that we're getting a Nintendo exclusive ported to the Xbox. It certainly, it has me a little intrigued to see if we're going to get any more Nintendo games ported to the Xbox in the near future.
I did hear Persona is actually might be making its way to Xbox too, so that'd be pretty interesting if that happened.
That would be excellent.
I don't know if that's gonna happen, but hey, the more games that people are able to play, I'm all for it. Doesn't matter what console you play it on. We're all about uniting gamers, as Jesse's trying to started that hashtag the other day on Twitter.
Oh, you saw my hashtag. We're gonna get that trending. It's gonna be connected to our podcast and our show. I have a goal in mind.
Sounds good. This is what we do at the Online Podcast. It's unite gamers, whether you're PlayStation, PC, mobile, Xbox, Nintendo, whatever. Arcade, doesn't matter. We're all gamers in the end.
Speaking of games to play at home, PlayStation's Play at Home incentive that they've been running the past month or so, they dropped 10 more free games starting on March 25th, including Abzu, Enter the Gungeon, Subnautica, The Witness, some VR games, including Astrobot, Rescue Mission, Moss, Thumper, and Paper Beast. But the absolute headliner of these games that will be coming free to PlayStation is Horizon Zero Dawn, coming on April 19th. Totally free to download.
Isn't it the complete edition too? So all the DLC and everything as well?
Yeah, so I mean, if you have a PlayStation and you don't have Horizon Zero Dawn for whatever reason, I mean, you have no excuse now. It's going to be coming free next month, April 19th. I think it's only from the 19th to the 21st, I want to say, which is also my birthday. So I'll be, even though I have it, I'll probably download it again and play through it.
Right. So is it, is it the thing to have a thing where you can claim it between the 19th to the 21st and then you can have it forever, or is that you can only play it for free from the 19th to the 21st?
Oh no, and once you download it, then you have it. Like it's going to be similar to the PlayStation Plus games, where once you add it to your library, it's on your library until you stop having a PlayStation Plus. Okay, Yeah, so I mean, you don't even need a PlayStation Plus account to download these games. You can download them and have them on your account until you just you get rid of your PlayStation or you get a new account. So
that's pretty cool. I do like that a lot. Kind of get, like, I seen that, I was like, you know what, good for you, PlayStation. I'm a huge Game Pass kind of person. Obviously, you hear me talk about it probably gazillion times each episode, but this is I really like this move from PlayStation, and they can like even pump out more games with this initiative. Like, I wonder if they'll have like a spring play at home and then a summer spring play at home, which is more like summer themed games. Because Moss, when you said Moss, like that's like a spring themed game to me. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, they had Ratchet and Clank last month too. You can definitely see that the Game Pass incentive is sort of taking notice of it and trying to mirror it in some aspect. Though, I mean, Game Pass is like the best deal in gaming right now, but it's definitely good to see the some sort of competition between the two companies. It'll be interested to see how they go moving forward. I know in the summer they always have summer deals, and I mean, I'm certainly excited to see what they have moving forward with this play at home incentive.
Yeah, same. I mean, I was telling my Jordan, who's actually on the podcast a while ago, we were texting last night about it, and I said the next 5 years, in my opinion, is kind of like going to shape the whole landscape of gaming, and kind of we'll see which kind of direction wins. Is it going to be the Game Pass direction of Xbox, or are they going to just go bankrupt because they put all their money into Game Pass, or is it going to be the exclusive route like Sony? It's going to be or is it going to be a combination of both? We don't know. It's going to be interesting to see like kind of how the landscape shapes out in the next couple of years. It's going to be really, really fun. Either way, like I said, we're all about uniting gamers on the Level 9 podcast, so you can I hope they kind of both collide and make it eligible for everybody to play games anywhere they want, whenever they want.
Yeah, we say it all the time. It's just really an awesome time to be a gamer, whether you're on Nintendo, PlayStation, or Xbox. You really have just, I think I read a tweet actually earlier today, and it said he just counted how many free games are on Game Pass, and there was like over 300, which is just mind-blowing.
Wild. Yeah, and then Jordan made a good point yesterday when I was texting him too. He's like, if I've been a PS Plus member for a long, long time, I'm going to have a lot of games back in my library too. So it's like, he's like, I don't really, like, it doesn't matter where you play, you get free games, so that's a good thing.
Yeah, with each month when the two PS Plus games come free to PlayStation, I add them to my library, and once, like I mentioned earlier, once you add them to your library, they're there until you want to play them. So, and I have over 200 games just in my library ready to download anytime I want to play that have been PS Plus games from like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah, see, that's fantastic. And obviously, I'm newer to the PlayStation ecosystem, so I don't have as many, but I definitely take advantage of those games when I can. Now, sticking on PlayStation, I don't think this is part of our conversation that we had earlier when we were planning the show out, but they just announced an acquisition. I don't know if you've seen that. The Evo series, so like the eSports Evo, which is like all fighting games, stuff like that. PlayStation kind of partnered with somebody to own that kind of name brand tournament genre. So that was, I found that kind of interesting that they're kind of targeting, they're kind of spending money on that. I'm not sure. I just seen it a couple minutes ago. So
I did not see that.
I don't know if you want to do a bit more research into that, but the Evo series is pretty much like the esports fighting series. So like you have like Tekken, you have Dragon Ball, you have Smash Brothers is the big one. That's where everybody goes to play Smash competitively. So It's kind of intriguing that Sony now owns that, and Smash is a huge Nintendo brand. So maybe we'll see a crossover. I don't know.
That would be incredible if we got some sort of a PlayStation Battle Royale-esque game coming in the near future, or like you said, a crossover with Super Smash Bros. That would be mind-blowing. It's almost like each company is sort of buying each developer now, and in the future, we could probably, the gaming world might just be run by PlayStation, Xbox owning all of these developers, and it's sort of like Infinity War, where you have to pick either Captain America or Iron Man.
Yeah, who knows? So this is a little message from IGN. Matt TM Kim wrote this. PlayStation buys Evo Fighting Game Championship Series, announces 2021 event date and Nintendo comments. So I'm just gonna read a little blurb. Obviously, I'm not gonna scroll through because it's quite a long thing. But
some breaking news here.
Yeah. So Nintendo has provided a statement regarding Sony's acquisition of the Evolution Championship Series. Nintendo has enjoyed engaging with fans at past Evo tournaments and wishes show organizers the best with their new venture. We will continue to assess Evo and other opportunities as we plan for future online and offline Super Smash Brothers tournament activities. So it sounds like Smash Brothers will still be around, but it sounds like they'll be moving maybe to a different kind of event. Sony has announced it has acquired the Evolution Championship Series, better known as Evo, the world's largest fighting game tournament. Sony Interactive Entertainment and RTS, an esports venture from Endeavor, have acquired the assets and properties of the Evo series. The purchase means future Evo events are effectively Sony PlayStation events in partnership with RTS. This year's Evo event will be held digitally on August 6th to 8th, and then August 13th to 15th. Events will include Tekken 7, Street Fighter 5 Champion Edition, Mortal Kombat 11 Ultimate, and Guilty Gear Strive. Details on the online qualifiers will be shared in the coming weeks.
Wow.
That I wouldn't say that this is like the biggest game of news, but still significant, news just because like Evo is massive. So
yeah, it's certainly there's a ton of potential there for PlayStation and them to have some sort of partnership moving forward. And I mean,
this kind of makes me wonder, and obviously this is probably way off, but that new IP that you mentioned, is it a fighting game that's going to debut at Evo?
I really hope not, because I have a lot of, let's touch on that first. We have Jade Raymond, the former, she was leading Stadia Games and Entertainment First Party Studio. She helped create such titles as Assassin's Creed 1, 2, and founded and led both EA's Motive Studio and Ubisoft Toronto, announced last week. And she's going to Haven Entertainment Studios to develop a new IP for PlayStation, which anytime new IP is mentioned, I get excited, whether it's for Xbox or PlayStation or another company. But so I'm certainly intrigued. We haven't really had much more information besides that, but like I said, anytime a new IP is being introduced to the gaming world, I am at least a little excited for it.
Do you think that these two are kind of tied? I personally don't think so. I think Jade Raymond is probably going to make some wicked games with Ed Haven. I think that's going to be a massive move for Sony, but it's just kind of funny that they kind of like go back to back with these announcements.
I mean, yeah, I mean, I don't think it's going to connect with her work on the Assassin's Creed titles, plus Stadia games. It'll probably be some sort of first or third person open world game that introduces some sort of new character through PlayStation 5 and maybe even the PC, like we've seen some PlayStation games being ported to PC.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. This announcement just kind of gets my mind wandering. I know that Xbox has this exclusive on Xbox that's been stagnant for a little bit, which is Killer Instinct. I don't know if you've heard of that one, but the Killer Instinct series is like a fighting game exclusive to Xbox that hasn't seen a new entry for a while now. And I've heard that maybe that's because they can't find a studio to make it. So how wild would it be if Sony kind of steals Killer Instinct from under Microsoft's feet, or buys Killer Instinct from Microsoft and makes this like kind of turns it on its head with Evo? I obviously this is just me spitballing and brains running a million miles a minute, but this probably likely won't happen, but that'd be hilarious. Just Sony kind of steals an Xbox exclusive to kind of make that Evo kind of even bigger than what it is.
Yeah, sort of jump shit there. I know they just announced a PS5 game that was an Xbox 360 exclusive back in 2000.
Yeah, Shadow Complex or something, right?
Yeah, so I mean, that's certainly interesting that they're kind of bringing some Xbox 360 games to the PlayStation. I mean, that would be, if they bought the Killer Instinct series, I think I played one of them on the Xbox 360 back in my high school days. That might age me a little bit, but yeah, I had a great time playing that game. So, I mean, I'd be all for a new one, whether it's on the Xbox Series X or PS5.
Yeah, no, I agree. It's a breaking news on this podcast. That's fantastic.
Kind of breaking news.
Staying on the course of Xbox and Microsoft, they've announced obviously this is not going to be as big as news to a lot of people, but this is massive news to me because I'm a huge Age of Empires fan. They announced Age of Empires fan preview for, I believe it's April 10th at 12 p.m. Eastern time. They came out and said, whilst we don't want to spoil everything we have in store, we know that you've been eager for more glimpses of Age of Empires 4 since the first trailer at XO19. Our broadcast will include a new look at gameplay, civilizations, campaigns, and more for you to enjoy. So this is kind of like the first real look of Age of Empires 4 that we're getting. I know we got a quick trailer at XO19, which the game looks really cool. but we didn't really see much more than that. So the fact that they mentioned they're going to talk about civilizations, which is always a big part in Age of Empires, an important part, and the campaigns, even the gameplay, I am jacked up for this. I know you probably don't care, but I am super, super jacked up.
Well, I mentioned to you before we started this podcast that I'm a big Stronghold guy. I sort of stumbled upon that series during the first lockdown phase. I played the first one that was sort of remastered on Steam, and then Stronghold Kingdoms, Crusader, and Crusader Extreme. They were all on sale 1 month, and I just kind of dived right into that series. So I'm certainly, I know they're not the really, they're similar in some aspects, but completely different in others. But I think it's Age of Empires 4 coming out, or being teased at least. I'm a little excited to see what that has in store since I've sort of developed this new intrigue for that sort of game recently.
Yeah, I mean, like, I've been an Age of Empires fan for so long. Age of Empires 2 is actually my first ever LAN. I had myself, my dad, my brother, and my uncle downstairs, I think in the early 2000s, all hooked up with Ethernet cables all in the basement playing against each other on Age of Empires. So this franchise and me kind of go way, way back. And they just recently released Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition, which is remakes. And they added some new civilizations, updated graphics. And they did the same thing with 3. I don't want to spend too much time on this one because obviously it's a very niche thing, but I figured I had to touch base because it's a pretty big franchise for me. It kind of means a lot. And the fact that Age of Empires 4, which we haven't seen a new entry in this franchise since 2013, when the Age of Empires 3 studio kind of went under, it's pretty exciting. They also mentioned that they'd be touching base on Age of Empires 2 Definitive Edition and Age of Empires 3 Definitive Edition. So I'm kind of intrigued by that because Age of Empires 2 just had some new DLC with two new civilizations that you could buy. So I wonder if they're planning on continuing support for that and releasing more civilizations as well as Age of Empires 4. And just being a huge history guy, like, all these games are kind of different history locations. Like Age of Empires 1 is like prehistoric era, or like before the Roman Empire type thing. Age of Empires 2 is a lot more medieval, and Age of Empires 3 is kind of like late 1700s, early 1800s. So I wonder if Age of Empires 4 is kind of a bit more modern or what. The trailer kind of showed a castle, so I don't think so. Or if they're kind of combining all of it together. So this is April 10th at 12 p.m. Eastern time. You can watch that on Twitch, YouTube, and obviously the Xbox channel on YouTube or Twitch. So I'm super excited about this. And I'm sure I'll be talking about it on the podcast whenever we record it. So.
Yeah, I'm just looking through my library here on Steam, and I guess I purchased Age of Empires 3. It says 2013.
Yeah.
So was that the HD? Oh, yeah, it has been reimagined in high-definition new features. So
right, you need to get the Age of Empires 3 Definitive Edition, which just came out in October.
Oh, okay. Well, I have the second one here on Steam, so I might have to play through this. I guess I bought it when I had my little Stronghold kick back in the day, but I've never played it, so I might have to... try playing this before April.
Let's get an online game going. I'm down.
That'd be exciting. I mean, you'd probably, is it cooperative or is it more?
No, like you and I can be on the same team. We can be allies and we can just fight against computers and stuff.
Okay, yeah, that's certainly, I would definitely be interested in that.
We can put the computers on the easiest difficulty to help you learn the ropes. I'm down. Let's do it.
Is it similar to Stronghold?
In like an RTS way, yeah, but like in Stronghold, it's a bit more in depth. Whereas like you need to have like the iron, and then the iron needs to transform into like a sword, and then you need to put the sword in the armory. Whereas Age of Empires, you don't have to do any of that. It's more like you still need to get food, you still need to get gold, you still need to get wood, you still need to get there's wood, food, gold, and stone. But that's probably about it. You don't require anything to kind of build weapons or anything like that. So,
oh, okay, yeah, we'll certainly have to dive into this game then closer to the Age of Empires event later next month.
Sounds good to me.
And then I guess we could finish up here with the new, very strange looking PSVR controller designs that PlayStation launched recently.
Yeah, they definitely look super futuristic. So they're staying on par with the theme of the PS5. So,
well, I've never used the controllers for the VR. I've never really had any experience with the VR. I know you have a bit. How do you feel? Well, let's just go over the features first. I mean, they have adaptive triggers, similar to the PS5, haptic feedback, finger touch detection, which the controller can detect your fingers without any pressing in the areas where you place your thumb, index, or middle fingers. So you can make more natural gestures with your hands during a gameplay, plus tracking. Tracked by the new VR headset through a tracking ring across the bottom of the controller. Plus there's action buttons and analog sticks, so similar to the PlayStation controllers. So like I said, you have a bit more experience with the VR. Does this interest you a little more, or excite you compared to the previous version of VR?
I wouldn't say it excites me because I had to spend another $500 on a PSVR, but it does intrigue me a little bit because the PSVR for the PS4 only use like the PlayStation Move controllers. Yeah, so like you could use the PlayStation controller for certain games, but they had like the main controllers were the Move controllers. So this is kind of a big upgrade and kind of looks a lot more comfortable too, where you kind of just slide your hand in there and it just looks a bit more like immersive, I should say. Because like you're playing VR and you're swinging around your motion controllers, that's not really as immersive, whereas you know, like your hand's there and you're kind of moving your thumb and it can kind of track your fingers and stuff like that. Like it looks like it's a bit more immersive. So I'm definitely intrigued by this and kind of brings up the possibilities of what PSVR 2, we'll call it, games are going to look like.
Yeah, like you said, the price point is a big reason why I never bought the first version of VR, plus the lack of games to really play. I mean, there's a couple games that would have interested me, but not worth spending. I was like $300-$400 for VR. So I'm not sure if they've announced a price point for the new VR coming out, but I'm hoping it's along the lines of maybe $299 or maybe even $199, which sounds a little cheap, but it might give more people a reason to actually get a VR rather than putting another like $499 price tag on it.
As long as it's wireless, that's all I care, because the VR right now is a pain in the butt to set up, which is why I haven't played it in so long. I just want to be able to set it up and turn it on whenever I want instead of setting it up, unplugging all the wires, and it's kind of annoying. So as long as it's wireless, I'll probably end up picking it up eventually.
Yeah, just like the headset, these wild new controllers, make it wireless and make it not $499, and I think I'll probably be a little interested to play it, just to play Doom and VR on it.
Yeah, I mean, it seems like they're pushing a little bit more VR with Hitman VR. Like that seems like a game that I'd probably play. Things like that. So imagine the new game James Bond by IO Interactive is VR as well.
Oh, that would be fantastic. There's a ton of games that would benefit from using VR, but it doesn't seem like they've quite made the jump yet.
Who knows? Maybe Ratchet and Clank will get a VR version.
I don't even know if you could play as a Lombax. That would be incredible.
It's 2021. Anything's possible at this point.
That would be fantastic.
Yeah. So. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe God of War. I'm just spitballing here. I highly doubt it. Don't make God of War VR. But
I mean, I know Skyrim is for the VR. That would be, I own Skyrim on the PS3, PS4, PC, Nintendo Switch. I mean, I'll buy it on a VR if I got one.
And Doom's also on the VR. So that's a pretty exhilarating game on the VR. Your heart races pretty quick.
Yeah, I was going to say Doom on the VR just sounds like it would just be mind-blowing and terrifying and just...
You definitely get motion sickness playing it, I'll tell you that much. You're moving your head around all the time, looking around like aliens and or whatever that you kill. I don't know what they're called. Hellspawns? I don't know.
That's one thing that kind of has pushed me back, because I have a bit of motion sickness when it comes to certain things, so I'm a little nervous to don a VR mask or helmet or goggles, whatever those things are called.
I should take it whenever the things open up. We should go to the VR hut, and you could see if you can handle.
That's a good idea.
That. It's only like $25 for an hour, so.
Okay, yeah, let's do that then.
When things start opening up, it might be open now. I have no idea. I'll have to call them and let me know. But VR hut, if you're listening to this, we can get a sponsorship. Yeah, that's about all the gaming news we have this week. I'm sure next week there'll be even more. So.
It seems like every single week there's one or two big reveals or announcements from some company. So we'll definitely have some content for you.
Yeah, I think Xbox announced another event on the 26th. So we'll see what that's all about. I think it's an indie showcase for Xbox. So I'm sure I might talk about that. I don't know. Indies aren't really my thing, but we'll see. Anyways, thanks everyone for listening to this episode of the Level 9 Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Level 9 Podcast. You can find me on Twitter at AlexLangwa15. I mostly tweet about sports, but I do the occasional video games, and my DMs are open if you want to have any requests or anything like that. And Jesse, where can they find you?
I'm at Jesse Benoit, and I also tweet a lot about sports. That's sort of the reason why we developed the Twitter for the podcast, just to kind of get out all that video game tweeting and liking that it's sort of overtaken my current Twitter. So at Jesse Benoit on Twitter and at the Level 9 Podcast.
Perfect. All right. Well, we shall talk to you again next week. Take care.